So it's like the Eric Andre show. You just show up and then.
I'm not familiar with that reference.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Eric Andre from.
Is that the guy from the league?
Eric Andre!
If we just keep saying it,
Eric, don't remember.
If we just keep saying his name, oh, eventually.
Eric Andre, yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
you guys
yeah.
really don't know who Eric Andre is?
I do. I don't know. Okay. Remind me. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Kentucky Commons Radio Hour. I'm Michael Moeller, joined tonight at Bluegrass Homebrew Supply by John Renane.
Hello.
David Satterly.
Hello.
And Matt Watson, the head brewer at the pub on 2nd in Owensboro, Kentucky. Traveled a long way to see us.
It wasn't a long way. It's like 2 hours.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
It's a way, at least. This episode of Kentucky Commons Radio Hour is sponsored by you, the listener and the viewer. If you like what you listen and if you like what you're listening to and if you like what you're watching.
You don't like it right now because we can't talk, but yeah.
If you like what you're listening to and like what you're watching, feel free to subscribe, rate, listen, share, do all those things because it helps us out a whole lot. We do have a YouTube channel that we've been plugging lately, so be sure to subscribe and check out those videos that we've posted. We've backlogged pretty much everything that we've ever done, put it all up on YouTube recently. So if there are episodes that you're just like, hey, I remember that one time that John and Dominique from Noble Funk came on, I want to see that episode now. You can go back into the archives of YouTube and do that. It's youtube.com/@ Louisville Ale Trail. Matt, again, thanks for making the drive on the Western Kentucky Parkway. It is. Wait, that's not the way you came, is it?
No, I came I-164 through
Evansville,
Indiana.
A good choice.
Yeah. The Evansville route. It's very cool.
Most boring way, but it saves you about 25 minutes. So
nice.
Over the river and through the woods.
Yeah. To Satterly's house we go.
That's right.
Well, we open the show up usually with a beer to share, and I believe David brought us a beer to share today.
I did. One of the funnier parts of Matt being out in Western Kentucky is I pass it all the time, but my laziness has never allowed me to stop in the middle. So I brought a beer from the place I'm normally going when I'm headed west to St. Louis.
Nice. I'm guessing it's a sour beer because of how much you're manhandling that bottle right now.
I don't know what that has to do with it, but... You are correct. This is a Blend One side project, Red Plum de Blé. This is a wine barrel aged Missouri wheat saison with red plums. If you've never had plums in a beer, they do give some really cool, like creamy, like pillowy type deals. So if someone will hand me a bottle opener, we can get this bad boy done. I think.
No, you got one? Or I got one right here. It just mounted to the.
Guys, we have a lot of bottle openers. Everyone in your pockets right now. Anyways,
I got one. No worries.
This is Blend One of this beer, so I've not had this. This came in a package with one of the barley wines that they're releasing, so this will be new for everybody.
Inferior bottle opener, sorry.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, I thought you were referring to David, and I was wholeheartedly agreeing.
Oh.
The equipment is fine. The opener could use some work.
I believe you.
I don't think we should fund your therapy this week.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never seen you stop in Western Kentucky for any beer.
I'm head down when I'm going to St. Louis. It's a 4-hour drive. I'm usually listening to a podcast or just pretending that I'm not on 64. I think even the Wizard of Oz, like Dorothy going to see the wizard, was a more adventurous journey than 64 West is for 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, that adventure was fraught with peril. Like, yeah. You're getting closer and closer to like the Plains Estates, the closer you get to the Mississippi.
Plains Estates. Well, cheers, everyone.
Yes, cheers. Indeed.
It smells nice and plummy is the first like tasting note that I would give to it. Nice and tart, too. It sounds like the dregs have all been roused off the bottom of that bottle.
David, what do you think about this one?
Honestly, I love it. It's a nice, bright, kind of light orange color. It's that classic... Missouri style saison tartness. The plums add a little bit of depth.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Yep, I enjoy that a lot.
It reminds me of I think Upland did a pawpaw collaboration mm-hmm. with somebody out west, And this, it reminds me a lot of that. It's got, it's not as jammy as I would have thought.
It's like a fleshy fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. Plum dries out really like a ton too. Yeah. You just like, it's one of those fruits that's really hard to get the like essence of to come through just because it's like such a refined sugar already or something like that. Delicate flavors.
I used to love this style of beer, but anymore it's just hard for me to do more. I think it's just me getting older and not being able to.
Is it like eating the enamel off your teeth and like your stomach lining?
Because like it's good. I know it's good, and I know it's in theory what it should be, but I'm just like, yeah, it's just not for me anymore. But as we're enjoying this and drinking this, thank you, David. Matt, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are now, and how you got there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you guys know, I was at Henderson Brewing Company for 4 years. And then after I left there, I got offered a job to run the pub on Second. So now I'm the head brewer there. I'm originally from Henderson, Kentucky. I actually still live there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering why you were saying 2 hours, because Owensboro is not exactly 2 hours. It's down the river, it's like 45 minutes. But
yeah, by steamboat, it's like 8 hours.
What?
Just saying. If you follow the river.
That's not,
how do you know
that's
that?
Not true at all.
Well, you know, that's not about.
How do you even know that?
Anyway, well, my grandfather was a steamboat. So I have all the inside info. Yeah.
That's true. It's very fast down the river.
Can you select that option on Google Maps? Like how fast by steamboat?
By water.
Canoe.
By kayak if you paddle slowly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so are you guys are in the space that Mile Wide previously occupied or no?
No.
No.
Okay. No. So Gambrinus, Libation Emporium used to be in the building that we're currently in, and now it's owned by the same people, but it's now called the Pub on Second.
Nice.
They've been open for about 2 years, I think.
And I was gonna say, it's new since last time I've been down there, but yeah, I need to come to check you guys out.
Yes, Satterley should as well, since he goes west so often.
So west. I want to add this disclaimer to the podcast, though. If you want to be on the podcast as a guest, the easiest way to do it is to send a bitchy DM to the Instagram and tell us that we don't represent you enough, and I'll say show up, and you did. So I'm going to give you a lot of kudos for actually showing up.
Yeah, you know, I may have done that. I may have sent a message and said like, hey, where's Western Kentucky at?
He added the word bitchy in there. I think professional and polite and effective.
Well, effective, I mean, yes. I know David well enough to be slightly bitchy.
Anyone who knows David well enough is kind of already going to be slightly bitchy when communicating with him. Like
hashtag FDS.
Yeah, that's a throwback.
I remember that one. Yeah.
So the Pub on Second has been open for about 2 years now. What exactly is the vibe there like?
So it's just a pub. It's a full bar. You have cocktails. I think there's 28 drafts there.
Wow.
Yeah. Really old building. Super nice vibe. It's in downtown Owensboro, a block away from the river. And it's a really cool place to hang out. And we just put a brew space in the back. We're finishing stuff up right now, but.
So they seek you out because, like you said, you were at Henderson for a little over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite some time.
I was like hearing people's stories too before. Was Henderson your first brewery job?
Yes.
And were you a homebrewer before that, or how'd you get into the whole beer game?
Yeah, I was a homebrewer before.
Nice. What kind of? How long had you been doing that, and what got you interested in the whole beer bug to begin with?
Honestly, well. I guess it's statute of limitations.
You're in good company here.
Statute of limitations at this moment, but
every time we ask this question, someone like pauses for a second. They're like, all right, "So I was consulting 14. With my lawyer."
Yeah, I mean, whenever I was like, 18, 19, drinking shitty beer with my friends, I'm like, this cannot be something that people actually enjoy. You know, like it just doesn't taste good. So then I tried to explore, and I had Fat Tire.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, whenever I was 18, I think it's been about 10 years. And then I decided like, oh man, like there might actually be more to this, you know? I mean, this is pretty interesting. and I was headed on the way to medical school, or on the track. I mean, I wasn't in medical school, but I was going to get there. And then I started homebrewing, got a job in sports bars, started trying more beers, and it eventually led me to get a job at Beverage Barn, where I was the craft beer bar manager at Beverage Barn in Henderson. And then Henderson hired me.
That's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah. And now the pub on Second, they sought me out, and here we are.
I think we met a few times over the Kentucky Craft Bash coming into town, but you had a lot of some of your own recipes that you got to develop over the time at Henderson. Are you taking any of those with you to the pub?
I think the essence of those will go. Yes, 100%. I mean, I can't take any of the intellectual property, obviously, but I do have one of my recipes for you guys to try later.
Hell yeah.
Do you have a style preference that you want to focus?
No. I've never been a guy to put myself, I am my own person. I never put myself into any box because, I wear what I want. I wear a lot of swimming trunks. I have, legitimately.
What if the box is a swimming pool? Then I'm all up in that box. Yeah.
Maybe I am in that box. But, I have, 20 pairs of swim trunks. That's what I wear. I'll wear whatever color. I don't match. I don't know. I don't have a style. I don't have a preference. I like what I like. If I think of something and it's like Tupperware ginger wheat saison aged in red wine barrels, I'll do it.
Heck yeah.
I mean, I don't want to put myself there because that's just not who I am.
That's the mentality you get with coming from the homebrew world too. It's just you relish that creativity when you can do it 5 gallons at a time, because it's just hey, let's just try something wacky with our friends and whatever. So it's cool to see that same mentality brought up to a larger system where you have, instead of just 5 gallons to share with your friends, barrels of beer that you can share with the entire community.
We're starting with one barrel at the moment, so I feel like I can go buck wild.
Go hog.
Yeah. I'm just going to go crazy with it.
Swim Trunks Saison, I think, might be a collab that we should do with you here at some point.
Swim Trunks Saison. Yeah. I like this.
Or Swim Trunks Cerveza. There's room here.
Just make sure there's a lot of chlorine in the water.
That's
how you brew it.
If you pee in it, it turns purple. We'll figure that out somehow.
Do we mash in the trunks? Or how does this work?
Brew in a bag.
Okay, we start out and we do a rest at we'll say hot tub temperatures, and I get in swim trunks into the mash.
And that's what the Italians do with the grapes.
And then I just do this, undulate.
Yeah.
Break up the dough balls.
Yeah.
And then I get out, we bring it up, protein rest. Swim trunks Pilsner.
It's a kettle sour too, by the way. We let it just really sit at that 140 degree range for a while. You know, the Italians do this with the grapes. That's part of the cult. They don't actually do it anymore, I'm pretty sure, but some people get in there with their feet and they press the grapes, and that's part of the whole terroir. I think we need to bring this into the brewing world with brewer
feet,
agitated mash. I'm not just in there with the paddle. I'm in there. I'm giving it my all.
Doesn't Ocean Spray still have the commercial where they crush the cranberries?
Cranberry balls.
Is that a lie?
They've moved on to a guy on a longboard listening to Fleetwood Mac. That's their marketing efforts.
Oh, yeah, the TikTok dude.
TikTok dude.
That guy's
epic. That is excellent.
So if you want to have some Matt Watson terroir, sound off in the comments.
Yeah. 10 comments and I'll do that.
Heck yeah.
10 comments and you'll do
that. And we've got to drink it.
You know, it's it's hard to, there's nothing new under the sun in the beer world, you find. You'll have these crazy ideas and you're like, oh, somebody's done this before. I've never, ever heard of using your body to mash, as the instrument, as the mash paddle,
probably
basically.
For a reason.
We could call it human mash paddle. That could be the subtitle of the beer.
Sounds
anyway.
Human flesh paddle.
Yeah, I love it. I'm liking it more and more all the time.
The protein rest has a little more protein than you would expect.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was an episode of This Is The Last of Us, I think.
That's probable. Mm.
Yikes. Well, we also usually ask our guests to participate in a show and tell segment. And we would love for you to go ahead and bring out your first show and tell.
Which one would you like?
Either one, whatever you're speaking to your heart right now. I don't want to put you in a box, you know.
You can't put me in a box.
Exactly. I don't want to.
Didn't you bring a box?
I actually did bring a box.
But he's not in it.
Oh, God. But he's not in it.
I'm not in it. I just have it.
This conversation's getting so like meta, like already. I love it.
You can hand me my box. Okay, this is my item.
Ooh.
And then we'll get to another beer. I couldn't really think of what to bring. So this is my 3070.
Hell yeah. I don't know what that means.
It's my graphics card for my PC. It's what I use the most whenever I'm not.
It's just a box, I'm assuming. The graphics card is just the box. In the PC.
Brother man, I would hurt you if you touched that device because it costs too much money.
So what I'm stupid when it comes to this. What does that mean? What is this for?
So the graphics card goes into the computer and it's what produces the graphics.
Right.
So
and you're doing more than just hanging out on a Word doc.
Yes. Okay. We're talking about like running games at super high frame rates.
Like Minecraft?
At 2K. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that too. But I've been playing a lot of Cyberpunk. Actually, I just beat the last South Park game. Fractured But Whole.
Oh, God. What a
name. It's Fractured But Whole. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that was really fun. You don't really need that graphics card
for South Park guys.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need that, but for games like Call of Duty, Overwatch, I can play everything at max settings. Everything looks great. I have a big 32-inch monitor, and I just sit, and that's where I can just forget.
Have you always kind of leaned on the PC side for gaming?
Nobody's gaming on a Mac.
I mean, like Xbox, PS4.
I think you're,
yeah,
all I think you're out of yourself, like, John.
What does that mean? Nobody's gaming on a Mac.
Nobody's gaming on a Mac. No. I started with a PlayStation 1, then a PlayStation 2, then an Xbox 360, then a PS4, and then I got a PC.
PC Master Race.
PC Master Race. Yeah. r/PC Master Race.
Yeah, any other experience of gaming is inferior to doing. I'm not even really a gamer. But I do have this like World War One game that because I have a graphics card too for like video editing, if we're doing like CAD stuff. It's crazy what computers can do when you like put that like turbo fuel underneath the hood, so to speak, with a good graphics card.
Well, did you build your own computer to do that?
I actually have a friend. He's pretty much my go-to guy. I just buy him dinner and give him beer.
Nice.
And I can do it. Like I can watch a YouTube video. If I can figure out how like a pump works and these things works, I'm a problem solver. I mean, all brewers are problem solvers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's essentially what you have to do.
Yeah. And plumbers.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And electricians.
And janitors. Yeast wranglers.
Well, glorified janitor. Janitor with perks. How's that?
Hell yeah.
He just does it for me because he knows what he's doing more than I do. So I'm just like, hey, man, I bought this. Do you want to come do it?
And so PCPartsPicker.com, shout out.
See, what you do is the strategy for any time you ever need help with anything. You just say, hey, how do I do this? And then they like tell you how to do it. And then they're like, okay, but what if this happens instead? Then you just keep asking questions until eventually they say, you know what? You know, I'm free on Tuesday. Why don't I just come by?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just do it for you.
I've already gotten to that point with most of my friends. So I just text them. I'm like, send a picture. I'm like, hey, this is on sale. They're like, oh, you should buy that. I already did. Do you want to put it in when it comes in? that kind of deal normally happens.
So I just bought an Xbox again somewhat recently for the first time in a while, just because I needed something to zone out to at mm-hmm. home. And what I'm finding out is that it's very hard to play video games when I'm even slightly buzzed. Like I cannot do that at all.
It messes with your reaction time,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, my you know, Halo multiplayer skills are just way down when I'm drinking.
Well, it's also like practice and hand eye coordination. It's different with sticks, and then some games I play on mouse and keyboard, and some things I just do on controller. With PC, you can plug in. I mean, you could probably plug in a potato if you had enough wires and program it somehow. I don't really know how that works, but
probably
OpenAI is working on that one, the potato keyboard. Yeah,
ask Chat GPT or whatever.
Yeah. How about VR? Do you have any experience doing that VR stuff?
I've tried it out before, and I could theoretically. Yeah. I mean, my PC is definitely powerful enough, but I don't have the room, and I feel like that's just too disorienting.
Yeah. So I can understand, like, the my main relaxation game is Age of Empires 2, which I am terrible at, and whatever, but it's a good way to just, like, chill out or whatnot. But I've done things, but you couldn't do that in VR. Like, it's just a place where you sit and look at a screen. I've done some of the stuff in VR. I have, like, one of those, like, Facebook ones or whatever, the Quest, the new one, or the older one or whatever.
I thought you had a VR where you could, like, row through the
river. That's the only thing that I use it for, is exercising. Yeah, yeah, it's not for relaxing, because it's, like, not that relaxing to have the thing on your head, and it's kind of disorienting.
Yeah,
but it's really fun for doing, like, the boxing game, or, like, you can do it while you're on the rowing machine. I have not done that one. I was thinking about that. Yeah, but anyway, I was just curious if you'd had any experience in VR and kind of what you thought about it and where it might be going or how it's gonna. Have you seen the VR brewery game where you run your own brewery in VR, and it, like, you download, it's kind of like Farmville, I guess. I've never played Farmville, but I think I kind of get it. You, like, download recipes, and then you have to, like, call people and get them to send you ingredients, and then you brew the beer in VR, and then in, like, you try to match all the guidelines, and then fake people give you reviews on your beer, and then according to how good it is, you can, like, sell it to a distributor or something like that, and then you get more money to buy new equipment. This is all new to you, is it? Yeah.
I've never heard of that, okay, sounds absolutely horrible.
I know. So this is my thing.
It seems like a waste of time.
I could see it being a really good educational tool, like, in terms of just kind of learning, like, how to do it. So, like, one time my AC, like, broke. And that's the great thing about computers and technology. You can go on YouTube and, like, figure out how to fix your AC or whatever. And then I realized in the same thing that, like, the AC technicians these days, before they go out and, like, practice in the field, and I think medical students are using this too, like, you can put on the VR things and, you know, you can work on an air conditioner, and it kind of shows you where to plug stuff in, how to test high pressure, low pressure. With medical students, they're using it to learn anatomy and, like,
you don't
dissections.
Accidentally electrocute yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But with beer, how can you learn anything if you can't drink it?
I don't know. VR is not going to teach you how to put on a damn tri-clamp.
True.
I'll tell you that.
Sure. Well, I think it could in time, but not right now. No, no, no.
No, not right now. Not with your Zuckerberg headset. Yeah.
But more than anything, like, the proof of the pudding of beer, like, you can't just brew to style. It has to be an interaction between you and the thing.
Well, it's also so dependent on so many physical properties that you're not learning how to make any product on virtual reality.
And there's no normal
brew
day.
Baffling to me.
Yeah.
No.
Something always goes wrong, or the temperature's not where it should be, or, like, the grain crush is different or whatever. Well, anyway.
My actual hell would be to
trying to brew in VR.
No. brewing beer and then going home and trying to relax by brewing beer in VR.
Into Zuckerverse.
That's why pros don't homebrew, right? I mean, that's why.
It's fruitless, man. Yeah. It just feels like, oh, I made 5 gallons.
Yeah.
I have to bottle this. I have to keg this one keg that I'm going to finish by myself. And if it sucks, then it sucks and I'm stuck.
Yeah, that's what's nice about having that one barrel system underneath you. You can still experiment, so it's good enough for that, where you don't have to worry about, like, 30 barrels coming out weird or something like that. But it's big enough where it's a lot of beer at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, we're planning on expanding once we get there.
Mm-hmm. So you'll always have that as a pilot system too, and then when the recipes are working out and whatnot, take them to scale.
Bingo.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Well, I can always put on a VR headset and experience the streets of Owensboro and Western Kentucky via VR. But tell me I couldn't experience the culture. So why don't you just, like, tell us a little bit about, like, the beer drinkers there in Owensboro and Henderson and beyond?
Hmm. Now, that's tough.
I would say like Owensboro has grown a lot in the past few years.
Yeah, Owensboro and Henderson is both of those places are starting to get more young people, which are the primary drivers of innovation. So there's, I mean, people in their mid 40s, some of them are adventurous, but you know, some of them like what they know, and that's what it is. That's how the beer culture appeals, and that's why Western Kentucky has the beer styles that they do, is because that's what.
Well, what are those beer styles?
Typically, more classic IPAs. I mean, New England IPAs are definitely growing in popularity, but you're not getting as much exploration into like the new pastry style sweet things that appeal to non-beer drinkers. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to cross over into that, and that's part of the reason why I feel like a good fit is because I want to break the mold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
everyone rides that line of trying to produce something that people want and versus like what you actually feel like is creatively expressive of what you're trying to do.
Well, yeah, but the part of advertising is you're trying to draw in new,
mm-hmm.
not satisfy the old. I mean, yeah. You want to satisfy your old customers by producing a good product, but you want to bring in new people that you may not be able to bring in with other things that you do, you know? I mean, what if you make something that tastes like a gummy worm? I mean, will white women in their 40s drink it? 100%. Every single time.
Do you have a strategy for how you like approach that kind of a do you set off when you're making new recipes with like that non-craft beer drinker or not customer or whatever in mind, or do you just do what you want and then figure out ways to reach those people? Do you have any kind of structure about that internally or how those things develop in your head?
So it starts out with like a vision. How far do I want to go? And then the name comes later. So I want the name and the, if we're doing a label, which we're not going to be doing labels at the Pub on Second at the moment.
Not on a one barrel system.
Not on a one barrel system, but
you're not going to buy a canning line.
You start with an idea and then you market it as like it's festive or whatever. I did a beer called Johnny Brunch at Henderson Brewing Company, and I think it was like 31 pounds of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Wow.
In a three barrel batch.
That's a lot of directly into the mash.
Yeah. Yeah. Directly into the mash. And it tasted like freaking cereal.
Yeah.
And that one was Johnny Brunch, covered it up with a whole bunch of spice, like 7% alcohol. And that one was straight up not for beer drinkers. I mean, you know, Johnny Brunch, it's kind of catchy.
Yeah.
But you know, something more approachable, like I have the coconut IPA called Coconut Head.
Nice.
From Henderson.
Uh-huh.
And that one is real coconut flavor, and it's got some bite, it's got some bitterness, it's bright, but you know, it's labeled an IPA. Mm-hmm. Because we, you know, it appeals to people that drink IPAs.
Yeah, I think you could also, yeah, it's either you make the style and market it towards the audience that you want, or you have an idea and just like have it a fun idea to begin with and then market it also fun or just boring and be like, yeah, it's in the taste, or yeah, it's a really funny can. So like against the grain brown note, mm-hmm. it's a brown ale. Nobody really cares about brown ales. I mean, some people live and die by it and they're very good from when they are, but it's not like a hot, sexy,
right?
No, it has a dude shitting his pants on it.
it does.
No, but
Bell's Brown Note is another good example.
No, but
Bell's Brown Ale. Yeah.
But here's the thing: nobody cares about Bell's Brown Ale.
Right, I do.
Even though it's great, nobody cares about it. So against the
nobody's grain, getting hyped about it.
Against the grain, at least they're getting some buzz around the label.
Mm-hmm. The coconut IPA sounded really interesting. I wish we could try that. I would love to try that beer.
You can.
Imagine.
Oh.
Imagine.
Imagine if you could.
Yep. So we do, thank you, Matt, have this beer here, Coconut Head, Coconut Head, Coconut IPA. I think I've had this before, but not in a can. Beautiful label, got some tropical colors on it. Got little heads as coconuts. Pretty cool.
Yes.
Looks like Bob's Burgers characters.
Yeah, 100%.
So
yeah.
The story behind this, I did not make the label, but I worked with the two wonderful ladies that Henderson uses to do their labels somewhere in Indianapolis, I think. But I told them my vision for the label, and they did a really good job.
It's got a lot of 90s Saved by the Bell
Trapper Keeper vibes.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Let me pour this out. Oh yeah,
the coconut aroma is really nice coming off of there. We talked about how plum is a difficult like fruit to capture in brewing. Coconut can be kind of tricky too, because I feel like with coconut you either vastly underdo it and it doesn't show up at all, or like one of the worst homebrew beers I ever made was a coconut porter, and I used real coconut and like I soaked it and I was gonna extract it and I soaked it in rum, and like it tasted like goddamn Malibu rum. It just took over.
Sunglasses. Sunscreen.
Yeah, sunscreen. Yeah. Exactly right. I knew what you were trying. I knew what you were going for there.
Did you write this caption as well?
I did write the caption.
Yeah, read it.
I'm gonna read it for you in the voice of Matt Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Or just mine.
Jimmy Buffett.
Nostalgia. The wistful affection for the past. Everyone has a time that they can find a blissful moment in their memories. Coconut Head is created with the nostalgia of being a little kid at the beach in mind. Yeah. Well, fuck this. Fresh Citra and Centennial hops coupled to form a smooth citrus and tropical sensation, while a gentle coconut kiss sweetens the finish. These flavors create a beach vacation experience, regardless of time or place. We hope Coconut Head will help you to indulge in some of your happy moments from the past. Just don't break your neck looking backwards. India Pale Ale.
Hell yeah.
Very well written.
Well, having just tasted it, I'd say it's also very well brewed. This is really good, man. It's that perfect balance between the coconut comes through the first to me. It's like not sweet because it's still an IPA, but it's like that sweeter essence of coconut. That you kind of coconut cream kind of vibe.
Yeah, it has coconut cream in it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And then that really rounds it out. And then the hops kind of come through to balance it, so it doesn't get too kind of cloying or like sunscreeny or whatever. This is great.
And then I get coconut. Hang on, let me
take a sip.
And then there's the coconut that matches the bitterness that it. I don't know. I mean, technically speaking, I think this is bitter to 77 IBU.
Oh wow, you would not guess it.
No, it's quite a bit of coconut.
Did you like it before you conditioned it? Because I think like Citra and Centennial, you know. That'll produce a lot of alpha, be pretty bitter.
Yeah.
Too much? Too zombie dust-esque?
That's all Citra.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
I do like the beer, but everybody's done an American IPA before, and you can make really good ones. And I've had ones that are better than others, but this is something that the Citra and Centennial was meant for the coconut. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't built to be a standalone IPA. That was my intention. The beer is good.
I'll tell you what I actually coconut, get from
100%.
Have you ever like drank coconut water like actually from a coconut?
No, I'm not rich, John.
Well, no, I'm not rich.
Anyway,
if anybody wants to send me money,
my au pair when I was young would bring fresh coconuts in for me for breakfast and cracked them open at my bedside. No. Anyway, but I've bought coconuts before just to see what it's like. But anyway. Bring me a coconut.
One coconut, please. Make sure it's good this time.
When you get it actually out of a coconut, you kind of get that like little, there's always like a little bit of the shell that goes in there. There's like a little bit of the actual coconut like
flesh.
Yeah, that actually is mixed up in there. That's kind of, I think, what the hops do to this. It keeps it from being kind of too artificial or sweet tasting. It kind of makes it it really rounds it out.
Wait, why isn't this being served out of coconuts in the tap room?
Ooh, we should have thought of that for tonight's podcast episode.
Because we're not rich, Michael.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'll ask my au pair.
you had no pair and we still pay for your therapy?
Well, come on. This is how do you think you get rich?
So Western Kentucky, just do want to talk a little bit about that still. The region is unknown to me, honestly. Like, I am very familiar with Eastern Kentucky, Northern Kentucky, the Louisville region, Southeastern Kentucky, Central Kentucky. Western Kentucky, seems very large. How would you define Western Kentucky?
It's massive. It's, you know...
It's mammoth.
It's not that we don't blame any of you guys for leaving us out. We just know that we're just kind of unknown. Like, I mean, people don't really go over there, you know? I mean, you don't stop in Kentucky. You either go to St. Louis. I'm thinking of someone.
It's FDS. David. It's David.
I mean, you've got things over there. You've got Land Between the Lakes.
Oh, yeah.
Mammoth Cave.
Mammoth Cave.
Yeah. So what are the, you know, Matt Watson's top three travel tips for Western Kentucky?
You know, this is going to sound ridiculous, but Henderson is a really great town to visit.
It's a beautiful river town.
Absolutely. Yeah. The downtown is gorgeous. And if you're looking for nice people, seriously, Western Kentucky is the place to go, because I could be like on fire or out of gas or need a dollar and I get treated the exact same way. Like, everybody will help you at the drop of a hat. 100%.
Do you all have the wave when you drive past someone?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Because it's like, that was something I didn't like experience until I went to Eastern Kentucky. And like, you'd be driving your car and people just wave at you. And you're like, dude, why the fuck is that guy waving at me? And
well, like, I didn't even know what you were talking about, because we all do that. I mean, we just like, you drive past somebody and like somebody's getting their mail and I'm like, you know,
and then
you wave at them like, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah. And they're like, why are you being rude? I'm like, what do you mean rude? And like, you city folk, you better wave.
Yeah, you need to wave.
I would shout out like all not Henderson and like, but all not even Western Kentucky, but Western Kentucky specifically, all of the smaller towns have really cute little downtown areas too. Mm-hmm. A lot of historic buildings, which, as you were kind of alluding to earlier, are starting to kind of get filled back in from, you know, the de-urbanization of small towns that kind of was happening in, like, I don't know what, probably started in like the early 60s and then kind of continued into the 70s and the economic slowdowns, mm-hmm. and then kind of got blown up under like Reaganism and like the rise of the freaking megacorps and like the Walmarts and like the disappearance of the mom and pops. But it seems like that trend is reversing now. Breweries to me are a leader of that.
Oh, that we're definitely a leader in that. And there are still mom and pop shops in all these small towns that you're just not going to find in the cities. I mean, you might be able to find, there's still some stuff in Louisville. I mean, I know for a fact I've been to some small town things, but
you're not going to find them unless,
you're not going to find them because they're probably not going to have Facebook pages.
Yeah.
They're going to be ran by grandma, whatever. And their daughter is the accountant, mm-hmm. and their granddaughter is the host. And, you know, that type of stuff, it's camaraderie. You know, I mean, you walk into the small town places, like when I'm in Henderson, I walk in, I'm like, oh, hi. And I end up talking to people for an hour and a half, just eating lunch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
how does anyone get anything done?
It's tough.
Come on, son. Hey boy, yeah.
I remember.
Why are you so obsessed with getting stuff done? Take a minute to smell the roses.
The best example of that I can think of is in Hopkinsville. There's a small town outside of Hopkinsville called Elkton. Mm-hmm. Elkton is really pretty. Just like, I don't know. I might still be Christian County, but it is just a really pretty small town, courtyard and everything. And there's like an ice cream parlor still. Like, mm-hmm. do you want some malted milkshakes? Come to Elkton.
Oh, I love malted milkshakes.
Yeah, but it was so like old school. Just
we have a pharmacy, like a old timey pharmacy, which has soda pop and ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. But drugs in Corden, Indiana.
Yeah. You know, there's also drugs. But I mean, that's what pharmacies used to be. They used to be like a little diner.
It was kind of like the original, like, all-in-one place. It was like where you could go get a soda pop, or you could get your thing, like your, what would they, probably didn't have like prescription drugs back then, but you could get your like laudanum or your like
mom would get her Quaaludes, the kids would get two soda pops and ice cream.
Exactly. A pack of cigarettes, a sack of fertilizer or whatever, and like, you know, take it back home.
Don't forget the Quaaludes.
Yeah, you gotta have the Quaaludes. That's why we're here, folks. Kids, get in the car.
So, and that weird lump on your arm, you know,
I
could fix that too.
Oh yeah, just
So I asked the question about defining Western Kentucky because it is quite large, like, and there's still plenty of room to grow for the breweries.
Oh yeah.
What's the average distance between, I guess, breweries in that region of Kentucky? Because I do want to highlight, like, it's not Lexington, it's not Louisville, it's not you know Richmond now with Dreamin' Creek and just Dreamin' Creek, never mind. But like, how far do you have to travel for a brewery?
So Henderson has one, and then the closest one is Brewbridge, which is about 26 minutes away. Right down the road is going to be the pub on Second. From Henderson,
Paducah.
The closest one is Hopkinsville.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen, city boy. You don't know how those country roads.
Let me learn you a thing or two, all right?
You got to stop to wave at everybody on the way, so it takes longer.
takes so much longer. I mean, if there's a parade, dear God, you're going to get carpal tunnel before you even get halfway there.
But almost did a spit take on that one. Kept it in.
Hopkinsville, and then Bowling Green is going to be New White Squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
And then two in Paducah.
But it's not like one town over. Like, just to illustrate for people that don't know, it is far. Like, you are traveling more than just one day to get to all those places at that point.
It's probably going to be about 2 full days.
Yeah, if you want to stop and have a beer at everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also Madisonville Community College has a brewing science program.
Oh, wow.
Madisonville is opening a brewery. There's one more. I'm sorry.
Newly opening or existing?
Newly opening.
Yeah, you know, I heard about one the other day, but I can't remember the name of it. It's like something buddies or something I'm not going to get there.
You mentioned White Squirrel being revived.
Yes.
By the folks at Gasper Brewing, I believe, are going in
there.
That
is correct.
They did post something today, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. I had to pull it up. But it's the same White Squirrel logo, and it says, "Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated."
Oh, fuck yeah.
And it's this wonderful, like, double-colored shirt. It's fucking awesome. I really liked Sean when they ran that.
Yeah.
So, like, seeing that space take another, that's in Bowling Green?
Yeah.
So,
it's in a really good spot downtown.
Yeah.
They actually have parking, which in Bowling Green, if you've ever been there, is a miracle.
Yeah. I'll take a minute, too, to shout out, you know, like, we talk a lot in Louisville beer stuff, like how much we think Louisville's blowing up just like as a beer destination and the quality of all the stuff coming out. But, you know, Eastern Kentucky, we could talk about separately, but almost all the breweries in Western Kentucky, too, are putting out fire stuff. Like, every time I try anything from, you know, stuff you guys bring to Craft Bash or getting out and about, or we're lucky enough here in the shop that, like, we see the guys from, like, Flywheel a lot and just, like, Brew Bridge and all those people, like, they're making really good beer.
Yeah.
I think Kentucky, even beyond Louisville, is a little bit of a sleepy, sleepy craft beer nerd. Like, we're putting out some good stuff.
I'll tell you another thing. Western Kentucky beer, which I can't speak because I don't brew in Louisville, but we are a family. I mean, mm-hmm. we are extremely close. I mean, it's straight camaraderie. There's not even a word of ill feeling towards anybody. We love each other. We really do. And we're not isolated for the fault of anyone else. It's just like all the stuff is on the east side of Kentucky.
That means you guys are gonna like are the OGs of this emerging thing because it's not, you know, pre-prohibition. There probably was like breweries in every little small town and stuff. But
yeah, actually,
especially on the river. Yeah,
yeah.
Fun fact: Henderson Brewing Company existed before pre-prohibition.
That's Peerless's story.
Peerless.
That's that's correct, and that was in Henderson.
That's awesome.
Downtown. Wow. Yep.
And now it's coming back, thanks to people who are putting their blood, sweat, and tears online and like making it happen day by day. It's not, it is a glamorous job because it's like cool and it's fun, but
it seems
not,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. But day to day, like it's a, I mean, it's a labor of love.
It's a labor.
Yeah.
And there's love.
And there's alcohol and beer and stuff like that that helps.
Yeah, that's there too.
Yeah. So Western Kentucky doesn't hate us.
No.
Okay, good. I just want to clear that up for everybody.
No, there's no ill feelings. I mean, we do make jokes like the Golden Triangle.
Oh, yes.
Wait, what's the third? It's Louisville, Lexington, and
Northern Kentucky.
Northern Kentucky. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Newport.
Newport. Yeah. But yeah, you guys are the Golden Triangle, and then Eastern Kentucky and Western Kentucky, we're just like,
hey, please, sir, can I have some more?
You know,
well, that's truly one of the missions of Ale Trail as well. Obviously, like we focus on Louisville beer stuff, but the reason this podcast is called Kentucky Commons Radio Hour, and you were very correct in bitching at David Satterley that it's about Kentucky too, because there's so much beer history here that people don't know about, and the more we can spread that joy, the better. And if people are listening to this, I know a lot of our audience is like outside of Louisville, but taking a little day trip is such a fun thing to do, to take like a small town Kentucky day trip to go to any small place. But you guys should definitely
I have a confession to make.
Go ahead.
I've never been to Owensboro.
Well, it's not that far.
Have you been to Henderson?
Yeah, I've been to Henderson like 5 times probably. I've been to the brewery probably 4 times out of those times, but yeah, I've just never really hung out in Owensboro. Hmm. Never went to any of the breweries there. Sorry, Mile Wide.
That's also where the Bluegrass Hall of Fame is too, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, go check that out.
It's like downtown.
Well, day trip.
And then you just go on to Paducah for the Quilt Museum. I mean, you got a whole...
don't talk to me about a quilt museum.
Quilt museum?
Yeah.
How old are you guys?
I'll give a shout out to my mom, who I know is a listener, but my mom and my aunt will take like every other year, like bi-yearly pilgrimage to go to the Paducah. Like they'll rent a houseboat on the lake and they'll stay there like as their Airbnb, and then they'll like go to the quilt shows and stuff. Like a fun time. Those people get up to some crazy shit from the stories I've heard.
Well, speaking of stories, we have some stories to share for Louisville on the Louisville side of things. Noah Funk is celebrating their 1-year anniversary on March 17th. I believe this podcast episode will already be out by then, but cheers to Noah Funk for celebrating 1 year. You know, we're doing the collab release for an Irish red rye ale that's coming out tomorrow at Molly Malone's. So excited to try that. But in general, like as far as, you know, just a great pizza sandwich brewery place goes in Old Louisville, which is a part of town that probably could use some more breweries. Yeah,
so like, bro,
there's some places that are within even a 5-minute drive away, but for some reason, you know, Noble Funk is kind of there. Just, you know, you want to go there, right?
So, if you want a testament to the fact that they're actually making an impact over there, I haven't had anybody, I would say in about a year, which makes sense, refer to it as the old Kroger building. People now just call it Noble Funk, which that's a mark, especially in Louisville. Because that's how people refer to things. But yeah, they've established themselves and they're making good stuff.
Yeah. And then also on March 17th, David?
Yeah, March 17th. Also, Atrium is opening up their second location over at Norton Commons. So for all you folks that are scared of downtown, you can just stay in Norton Commons.
I love that Germantown is downtown.
Yeah,
Shelby Park is downtown.
But no, props to them for they've expanded over the last couple of years. And, you know, opening a second taproom is always something that people, you know, wish and dream about. So nothing but good thoughts towards them. I think they'll do well out there. I think we talk a lot about getting breweries opened up outside 264, mm-hmm. kind of expanding the reach. You know, something in your backyard is always going to be better. So excited for them to open up over there.
Do you want to talk about the John King speculation about Norton Commons?
No.
No.
Why would we do that?
All right, we'll do that on our Patreon.
On March 20th, we have Monix Scott Hand Day. It's a Scott Hand was the former brewer who's now down deceased. March 20th is his birthday. This is the second annual Scott Hand Day that Monix has celebrated, essentially in his honor. Great guy, great reason to celebrate his life and kind of some of the beers that he made at one point, one of them being a barley wine called Never Be Golden. They're going to do a couple variants of that one. There's also going to be the, I guess we'll call it the Scott Hand Beer of Kentucky, Scruffy Outlier. Just stay tuned if you're interested in Kentucky beer news. Stay tuned on that on social media and the website calendar for that. Then also on March 31st, we cut that. Then also recently, there was the Pink Boots collaboration day that happened between a bunch of different breweries here in Kentucky, specifically in Louisville and Lexington. They brewed it at Mere Twin in Lexington. It is called Pink to the Past. It's going to be a hazy pale ale that will be released on March 31st. Participants included folks from Against the Grain, Akasha, Atrium, Butchertown, Country Boy, Shipping Port. Like I said, it happened at Mere Twin. I saw a sneak peek of the label.
Yeah.
Definitely some IP theft going on with a Pink to the Past.
No.
If you can believe it, but that's
what's
going
on there. In beer.
No, not at all.
It looks like Minecraft to me on the label there.
But proceeds for that beer do benefit the Pink Boots Society. Kentucky has a great chapter and a growing chapter. So if you don't know anything about Pink Boots Society, just go to pinkbootssociety.org.
Yeah. I will say, seeing all their posts that they were doing like on the brew day made me wish I was there hanging out with them. They looked like they had a lot of fun like brewing that beer. So I'm excited to try it.
And I like the point about Pink Boots also is that it's not specifically aimed at like brewers or anyone that has direct impact. This is a community that is also like bartenders, anybody interested in beer, etc. They're very inclusive. There's chapters around the country. This is a massive organization, and can't say enough good things about the work they're doing.
And I will just throw in on that. Kate Russell at Hopkinsville Company.
Yeah.
She is the most excited about the Pink Boots Society I've ever seen someone in my life. She is very committed, very driven. If you email her, you can find probably just contact Hopkinsville Brewing Company, but she will give you any information. If you are a bartender, if you work at a brewery, if you're associated with a brewery, if you're a wife of a brewer, she will welcome you at Hopkinsville Brewing Company if you're willing to make the trip, 100%.
We talked about her before winning the competition with Sam Adams and going up there and doing all that collaboration brew. So, yeah, go women. Pink Boots again.
Kate's a fantastic
human
being.
Just go, like, awesome brewers. Like, yeah. She's great. As good as it gets.
She's a fantastic person.
Yeah.
I love that woman. I really do.
Smart. Funny, talented, shrewd, makes good beer.
Hey, Sean.
Okay. You want to do it? Yeah. Take us there.
Well, I guess it's that time, folks. I have a surprise segment for you guys. It's a segment that I like to call What in the Hell Does It Taste Like Now? Where we discover what in the hell does it taste like now?
Hell yeah.
This is I think the show's first surprise segment.
Yep.
From a guest.
Yep.
I kind of forgot about this.
I also forgot about this.
So the story behind this is that you did and still do, because it still exists out in the world, a podcast that you called the Manosphere. Is that correct?
Maniverse.
Thank you. And this was a segment that gained huge notoriety.
Thank you,
Siri's talking to us at some point.
Yeah.
So Siri's break it down for us.
So on the Maniverse podcast that I used to do, I would have a segment. I am actually going super easy on you guys with this one, but I would go to the worst gas station liquor stores, backwoods areas of Western Kentucky. And I would find beers that sat on shelves, or I would purposely buy beers that are aged in the sun.
Hell yeah.
And I would put them back in a closet and wait until they were prime.
Yes.
And so I would bring stuff like the newest hazy beers, like the newest saisons, the newest barley wines, everything aged in bourbon barrels.
But they're shelfies.
But, no.
Okay.
No, like they were new. They were hype. I was up in the beer trade. But then at the end of the show, once everybody had a little bit of a buzz, I'd make you try something that was poop.
Okay.
And I knew it was going to be poop.
Okay.
So it wasn't, we never like hated on any companies because like,
yeah,
all of these, I would describe like, hey, this is 7 years old. Hey, this can's busted up. And I found it underneath the shelf at an Indian gas station in BFE, Kentucky somewhere.
That's great, dude. That's awesome.
30 cents. Yeah. The four pack.
I feel like the distributors should be paying you for this segment too, for like clearing out the old inventory from like the.
Yeah. And I purposely, I still have a whole closet full.
Hell yeah.
So I decided to go easy on you guys.
Okay.
I didn't pull anything that would be terrible. So this is Tarot by the brewery, Gypsy Tart. It's a Flemish brown ale, and this is a 2016.
I don't want it.
No, it's going to be good, dude.
So it is only 7 years old. I've done worse. Trust me. If Mendenhall, if you watch this, which I'm going to make you, this is not that bad.
Thanks. This is anyway. Not that bad is always a great way to like intro things.
All right. So will we get a gusher? Is the first question.
Yeah. That's the fun part. You never know.
Solid.
Yeah.
Solid.
We're good.
I mean, it was aged well when I got it.
This is back in the brewery.
It smells fun.
Like member bottle, like age, where they would just send you these like cases of acetic, like sour things and be like, yeah, this is what you paid for, guys.
Yeah. So.
And then. They would just destroy them out to. I mean, this is from California. Am I wrong?
I think it's California.
Yeah, all the way to Henderson, Kentucky.
Does Kentucky even see distro from the brewery anymore? I haven't really thought about them in a while.
I don't think they do too much.
No,
in
not
this area.
Not anymore.
Was that a Dauntless thing? I was going to say,
get on it, Nolan.
It was Dauntless.
Honestly, it doesn't smell that bad.
It's going to be a little oxidized, obviously, but like the. The funk should help kind of clean that up.
All right.
If I'm completely honest, I kind of just wanted to bring back me saying, what in the hell does it taste like now? Where we discover, what in the hell does it taste like now?
What in the hell does it taste like?
Yeah, I mean, because sometimes you don't know. Like, you see a beer on the shelf and you're like, oh, 2019, it's an IPA. Wonder what the hell that tastes like. And now you can discover.
I think you just introduced a new segment for us to steal.
Hey, I'm telling you, you're more than welcome to steal it. It was one of those drunk ideas that I had, and I'm like, oh my God, that would be amazing.
I still have a Lizard of Kaz at home.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So here's what it does taste like now. Old, not terrible. Oxidized, a little thick.
Oh, God.
Pucker.
It's a not going to acetic, but it's getting there.
It's pretty acetic.
One of the most sour things I've had in a while.
It tastes like lemon juice cardboard.
Yes, there you go. This is
yellow warhead territory.
Yeah.
It's lemon juice cardboard.
But it's not that bad.
It's not. It is better than I thought it was going to be. Like I said, I'm going easy on you.
And as we said earlier, I've had worse.
Like, this could be far more offensive.
Yeah.
If there was Band-Aid or like butter or something else, I'd be like, yeah.
Once you cut your mouth, it gets better after a couple sips.
It's not pretty.
No.
It's not pretty to look at.
I do enjoy that there's this element of torture associated with craft beer where like, hey, I'm going to age this in my cellar. And then like you taste it and you're like, God, it tastes like ass, but it's not that bad.
Well, it's always good to like,
I keep wanting to taste it, even though I know it's fucking horrible.
Yeah, like, it's really tart.
Well, you know, like there's like B movies that everybody loves and you still love them. Like, I mean, you know, it's not great, but like you see like.
I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see like.
Maybe I missed something. Maybe I missed like part of it.
Not Cocaine Bear, but like Fentanyl Pelican or something comes out and you're like. I'll watch that.
Jimmy Buffett's new album.
That sounds awesome.
Ayahuasca Zebra.
Hell yeah.
PCP Parrothead.
Yeah. And then you see it on Netflix, you're like, eh. All right.
Fuck it.
And then you just 6 hours in this.
You're just like, eh, yeah, no. I'll do it. Whatever. Just to see, you know? I mean, life's about exploration. Yeah. So
I'm not mad about this. This is interesting.
We've had worse.
I tried to always stay away. I tried to be very analytical on that show, but I never, ever, ever wanted to be snobby because I hate when people are super snobby and like gatekeeping about beer because beer is supposed to be the most inclusive thing. It's the most inclusive type of alcohol. So this was my way of saying, hey, you know?
Which ties it back into a mission like yours and the stuff that you're brewing at the pub. It's just like, it's an invitation to people. The more snobby you are and the more like you get high in your own supply or smell your own farts or whatever, that doesn't further the cause. And as you're talking about all the camaraderie and stuff in Western Kentucky, it's because we all know that like it's still the rising tide that's lifting all ships against the freaking Walmart effect that happened to beer during Prohibition. And so it's getting back to the people making it for the community. And people around the state taking day trips to explore new places to drink beer. We would recommend yours and all the other ones down there. But yeah, it's pretty tart, man.
That all
connects in my head. I totally agree.
Good.
David, what do you got to plug?
I'm going to plug Results Physical Therapy. If you've ever broken your elbow roller skating, you might want to go to Results.
Have you done that?
No, someone I know did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his name is James. Definitely not me. Yeah.
John, what do you
got? I'm going to shout out, I guess, windstorms. We had a tremendous windstorm blow through the entire region, and we got off at the domicile pretty scot-free, but we had a giant tree come down. So.
Glad you got off at house.
Well, cutting that thing down. Whew, I'm also going to shout out... the power of the new version or the new generation of electric chainsaws. Piece by piece. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Shout
Storm
out to
damage, chainsaws. Harbor Freight, 80-volt chainsaws. That's mine. Pray for me.
Matt, what's going on? What do you want people to know about?
Well, the pub on Second.
Hell yeah.
Follow our socials. You're more than welcome to follow my socials, actually. I'm Matt Watson on Facebook, which I regrettably use because everybody else does, and that's how you get information out. But at Matt the Watson on Instagram, that's where I post more stuff. And also, shout out to these guys for actually letting me come from Podunk, Western Kentucky, and wave at them on their podcast.
Okay, hold on. Nobody said Podunk.
Letting you come. Wait a second. But no, thank you for coming up too, because that's truly part of the mission is that it's just, there's such a good community here, such good individuals and personalities behind it all, and sharing that is huge.
Yeah. You added bitchy, I can add Podunk. It's fair.
But you pointed to me specifically.
Well, you've never even been
you've
the Owens.
You've got the vibe. You've got the vibe.
On my end, I'm going to plug Married at First Sight.
Oh, no.
It's such a trashy TV show. I can't look away. It is the equivalent to this beer that we just had. It's just like, why am I watching this? I don't know, because it's kind of fun to do, I guess.
But you just keep needing another
sip. Are you familiar with this show?
I've watched a couple episodes, yeah. Not in their entirety, but I've watched clips from it, like... There's a YouTuber that I like, and he puts together like all the TLC like trashy shows. He's like, "Hey, here's this week's latest shit show," and then he'll just like put together these clips. And I'm like, "Oh my god, why would they put this on TV? Wait, why am I watching?
why am I watching the YouTube version?
Yeah, why am I on YouTube watching this?
I have no idea what the show is, but based on TLC, here's my guess." People who were blind, but then they get their eyesight restored, and then they have to marry the first person they see.
kind of close.
Okay, well,
Mr. Beast did that. Mr. Beast did that.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Everybody was like mad at him or something. I don't know. I saw a lot of like Twitter being angry about it for some reason. I don't understand the point. But yeah, he did like eyesight restoration for people.
And because John said eyesight restoration, thank you all so much. Appreciate the show tonight.
The word of the day is
eyesight restoration.